You just ran a hotly contested statewide campaign for governor last year. What's it been like transitioning so quickly to this congressional race?
Well, of course, I lost the governor's race by 83 votes to Matt Bevin. It did really well in this part of the state and throughout the whole first congressional district. I won around 60 counties, and I think Bevin won 32. And, of course, I ended up being 0.4 of a point behind him. We planned on going back to the private sector and going back into my farming operation and the other small businesses. But we got the phone call a few months ago that Ed Whitfield was retiring, and people started calling throughout the first district. So I love public service. I know I can make a difference. So my wife and I decided to file our papers for Congress. I'm glad we did. It's been a lot different race because the press was just consumed with the gubernatorial race last year. This year, it's honestly tough to compete against Donald Trump. You know, every news story that concerns politics is about Trump. So here we are inside 40 days of the Republican primary for Congress, which will determine the next congressman. And there really hasn't been very many stories. I think today the NRA endorsement is probably the biggest news story of this congressional campaign thus far. So we plan on closing strong. I'm going to really advertise heavily on the radio, on television. We've already sent out our first direct mail piece. I'll send out more. And I believe that there'll be more groups like the NRA that are going to endorse my campaign because we are just in a very strong position to close this race out. I have a proven record, so people know that I'll be a very effective congressman, and that's why you're going to see more and more Comer for Congress signs pop up and more Comer for Congress bumper stickers on cars.
At this point, we're really just a few weeks away from the Republican primary, and it seems competitive. We've got Jason Batts running as an outsider and Mike Pape running with Ed Whitfield's endorsement. What's your pitch to the Republicans in the 1st District as to why they should give you their vote?
Well, there are a bunch of reasons. Number one, I'm the only Washington outsider in the race. Both Pape and Batts have worked for many years for congressmen in Washington, D.C. I'm an outsider. I'm the only one with a business background. I own business. I've created private sector jobs. I continue to have one of the larger farming operations in South Central Kentucky. I've also been a part of other small businesses. But then I've got a record in the public sector. I've been a successful state representative. I was commissioner of agriculture and totally transformed a government agency. I made a government agency that was just awash in waste, fraud, and abuse. We've changed that. They're now transparent, efficient, accountable. So I've gone in a government agency and eliminated wasteful spending, made it transparent. That's what we have to have in Washington, D.C. So I have success in government. I've had success in the private sector, and I think that's what the people of the 1st District want.
One of your opponents, Jason Batts, has said he would join the conservative House Freedom Caucus, while Congressman Whitfield is a member of the sort of moderate Republican Main Street partnership. How would you come down? What kind of a Republican would you be in that Congress?
I'm going to be a leader. When you say you're going to be in the Freedom Caucus, you're already saying I'm going to be a follower. Anyone that says that makes a pledge now to be in the Freedom Caucus is a follower. They're going to follow congressmen from other states that are going to tell them how they have to vote on important issues. I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to vote the way that I think is best for the 1st Congressional District. That may mean I vote with the Freedom Caucus on a lot of issues. But at the end of the day, I'm going to make the decision based on conversations with people in my district, not based on being in a closed-door, smoke-filled room with a bunch of disgruntled congressmen. So I think that I bring a lot to the table. I've been a leader my entire life. I've been a leader in the private sector. I've been a leader in Frankfort. And, again, I'm the only Washington, D.C. outsider. I want to go in there to Congress, make a difference on day one, work with people, work across the aisle. I'm very independent. If I think there are some conservative Democrats that have a good idea, then I'm all for entertaining that idea. I don't care if it's a Republican idea or a Democrat idea. I just want to do what's best for the 1st Congressional District, for the people of West Kentucky, and I believe that that's why I'll be victorious in 39 days in the congressional race.
Conservatives are very passionate on social issues like same-sex marriage and abortion, but they're also divided. You've seen this play out in the presidential primaries. Some are saying the courts have had their say, let's move on, while others want to overturn those decisions or put laws in place that sort of work against those rulings. Where do you stand on these social issues?
Well, I support only traditional marriage. I was a member of the Kentucky General Assembly and a co-sponsor of the bill in 2005 that put the amendment on the ballot to ban same-sex marriage in Kentucky. So I have a proven record of being opposed to same-sex marriages. I support only traditional marriage. I'm pro-life. I think the first thing we need to do is first thing I'll do as a congressman with respect to life is I'm not going to allow any of our tax dollars to be spent on Planned Parenthood. That's not the role of the government by any stretch of the imagination. We need to cut wasteful spending, and I can't think of more wasteful spending anywhere in Washington, D.C. than Planned Parenthood. So that's an area that I'm going to go. It's in my radar. Next, I will continue to vote pro-life. I'm a pro-life Christian conservative, and I will continue to be that way as a member of Congress.
What about issues like the religious liberty laws? Some people call discriminatory.
I don't think they're discriminatory. You know, our founding fathers created a tremendous document with the Constitution, and there's freedom of religion. But what people tend to forget, the founding fathers were Christians, and they would never have envisioned an America where you can't have prayer in school, an America where you have to have transgender bathrooms and things like that. So I'm a common sense conservative. I'm going to go up to Washington, D.C. and vote as a common sense conservative would. And you know, we waste too much time on debating issues like transgender restrooms when we need to be doing something about the budget debt in America. We need to do something about the student loan crisis in America, and the outrageous increase in tuition all across the United States, and the fact that we don't have an environment where we are creating good-paying jobs for the next generation of Americans. These are the issues that I want to go to Washington, D.C. and be a champion for.
Finally, what have you made of this Republican primary season as we head toward a potentially contested convention? Are you supporting anyone for president?
I'm really focused on James Comer for Congress. I believe that the nominee should be the person with the most votes. So that's my message. Whoever has the most votes and the most delegates in August should be the person that gets to hold the banner this fall.
Commissioner Comer, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.